It's not just that Bob is brilliant. It also helps that everyone else isn't as smart. This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hour number two of the roundtable, hour number three of Primetime Sports for this Friday, the 12th of August. I'm Bob McCowan, along with John Shannon, Mike Zeisberger of the Toronto Sun, and the new head of the president of the soccer division of Sportsnet, or something, James Sharman.
That's president, the title. That's the title.
President of the soccer division.
That's what it's called.
Congratulations.
It's a brand new title.
Yeah, yes. There are more damn presidents around this place than you can... Have we finished?
Don't go there, Zeiss, please. I've had a nice day today.
have we finished our Olympic discussions? Did we miss any topics? Are there things that we need to discuss or address? Bueller, anyone?
I think we're all good.
Yeah.
Yep.
It really begins today with the track and field, right?
I think. I mean, let's face it. That's the choreography of what the 17 days look like. Are specifically for one country's national television network.
And they nurse.
And they want gymnastics. They want swimming in the first week. They want track and field and a few other sundry issues the second week. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And everything's scripted down to the T for NBC.
Well, when you pay what they pay, I guess that's what you get, right?
And they're going to make more money than any other games that they've ever broadcast, Bob. This year in Rio.
And
it's amazing.
I asked you before the show why that is, and your response was, I have no idea.
I mean, I have no idea. Their numbers are good in prime time. They still produce the prime time show the old-fashioned way with tape-delayed gymnastics. But it works, and people watch.
Certainly, it's an NBC property, and it's available on multiple networks in the United States. Yeah. So they have adopted the philosophy that we sort of initiated here in this country, probably in Vancouver. To a great extent.
To a great extent, yeah. The CBC, for so many years, the CBC, even as far back as Montreal. Montreal was really the first time when we went wall-to-wall coverage of everything.
But on one network.
But the multiple network scenario that was done in Vancouver was a great model.
So refresh my memory. I know it's on all the NBC channels and some various other channels. You can turn on U.S. network television or new U.S. television at almost any hour of the day or night and find the Olympics, where just a few Olympics ago, you couldn't. Yeah. You got basically prime time Monday to Friday on the main network.
That's right.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with the development of social media, people were learning and hearing about results before they appeared on the network, and the network had a really tough time at adjusting and adapting. Being in Barcelona, Barcelona to me was an interesting analysis of what American TV was all about, because there was a thing called the triple cast, and the triple cast was the green network, the blue network, the red network, that NBC basically did a deal with major cable companies to try to create pay-per-view Olympics, and it was a huge failure for them. It didn't work, but it was really 15 years ahead of itself in what they tried to do. And what happened in Vancouver with the Canadian Olympic Consortium and the fact that Sportsnet and TSN on all their different channels ran so much was really a great model that a lot of countries have duplicated.
And I assume that allows you to sell more advertising and you have more inventory and more live events. And I would think advertisers like live events almost regardless of where they are. Because even in Vancouver, lest we forget, if there were live events on at 11 in the morning on one channel and they were of great significance, you could see the replay of it at least once, sometimes many times over the course of the next 24 hours. Let's turn to baseball before we get to the Blue Jays. One of the interesting stories that's developed over the last few days is the imminent departure, we think, of Alex Rodriguez. Certainly the departure from a...
He hasn't changed his mind yet?
As a player, I don't think it's up to him.
Yeah.
But what he hasn't said, unless I missed something, is that he will stick around and remain in the Yankee family. I think he's kind of left that door a little bit open. And I wonder whether the way Joe Girardi has treated him in the last week will impact on A-Rod's professed love of being a pinstriper. What do you think, Z?
Oh, I see them being at loggerheads. And I mean, there has been a lot of comparisons, especially in New York, about the way that Jeter was treated, not only by the fans, but by the manager when for his farewell, as opposed to A-Rod's. Now, there's some foundational differences in that. I mean, number one, we knew Jeter for an entire season was going to retire. We just found out last week that Rodriguez was, I don't even call it retired, Bob. I think it's being pushed out the door.
Well, of course, that's exactly right. And Jeter made the decision. Rodriguez did not make this decision.
But, I mean, the other thing here is that, you know, they claim that he's under contract as an advisor right. for the next year and a half. I mean, you know, you see a couple of A-Rod's interviews and just a look on his face. I don't think he wants to have anything to do with, I'm not sure about the Yankees organization, but I don't think he's going to be going out with Joe Girardi for a farewell party. That's for damn sure.
You don't think he's going to go to Trenton or go to Double A or Florida Ball and
help, like McGillney did so he could collect his money?
And help coach? And help with all the hitters? You don't think that
Where
that's,
was that, John? Albany?
Albany.
When they sent McGillney down?
Yeah, that's right.
Although, the one thing that I don't know whether it's... You never know whether it's fake or real with A-Rod. That's the problem. But the story that has emerged of late is A-Rod as the good guy in the clubhouse, the well-liked guy, the guy that will share information with young players, all of that kind of stuff. Well, I don't recall hearing a whole lot about that until recently, and I don't know whether this is the mirage of trying to repair the A-Rod image on the way out the door, because what the hell, he's leaving anyway, or whether it's real. And if it's real, is there value there? You know, have we misread A-Rod all these years?
That's hard to say, Bob, because you know what? It always goes back, at least for me, that the old credo, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And A-Rod has fooled a lot of people more than twice. And so I don't think that I have a hard time having any sympathy for A-Rod after, you know, all the soap opera that he's gone through, how many times he's sworn I didn't do it, and then yeah. It ends up that he has. So, you know, even if he considers himself a leopard who has changed his spots, he's created this doubt around himself. He's the only one to blame for that.
It's all spin, right? And it's just the reinvention of A-Rod prior to his next stage in life, be that in the media, be that still in baseball. I mean, there's reports out there that the Marlins are actually sniffing around.
Yeah.
That's great. Put him together with Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Right, precisely, right? I mean, that would be amazing for starters, but I can't really see it happening. But what is the next step for him? Because like you said, only this past week is he being painted in a sympathetic light.
Yeah.
What about the previous 18 years of
But
his
if
career?
He had if he had come clean on the steroids and not, you know, in the
KD, which time?
The first time.
Okay.
Because I mean, if he had told the truth the first time, said, yes, I did. You know, forget, you know, with Katie Couric, I mean, the famous 60 Minutes interview that he did with her. And all this orchestration about, you know, lying and then finally admitting. If he had told the truth, taken the penalty, which would not have been near as severe. I think we all would expect that. He probably would be viewed differently. I still remember at the same time, Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit took steroids.
Yeah.
Admitted it.
You're right. And I have always acknowledged that. Andy Pettit's the one guy that I look at and I say, you know, if his numbers were good enough, I might vote for him because I respect the fact that he acknowledged, I think at the first opportunity,
yes.
real opportunity,
yeah.
what he'd done.
Yeah.
Cite the case of the other player in any sport who has done that, who hasn't started out by saying, I didn't do it.
No, but I mean, everybody who else has always been questioned. And
who else?
No, yeah. Is there anyone? I don't think so.
I don't think there is another one.
But you look at Ryan Braun, we went through this with Ryan Braun. We went through this with Mark McGuire. I still, you know, the congressional hearing with Rafael Palmero.
Waving his finger.
I mean,
Big Poppy says he's innocent, and there's, he was in a report.
Yeah.
There was one guy, and it was Jason Giambi, and it was the most bizarre press conference because he apologized, but never once did he admit to what he was apologizing for. It was assumed that it was because he had, you know, cheated, taken the juice. But it was the most bizarre press conference. Never once did he mention what he was apologizing
for. So you know, James, to your point about the Marlins sniffing around, you don't think that there's any chance that the Yankees are trying to make this, you know, put lipstick on this pig so that in the off season someone will take him and then get rid of that $26 million.
Nobody's going to take all 26. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they can get rid of five of it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm no baseball expert by any stretch, but you watch him this year, he's not the same player as he wasn't even last year, which, you know, he was decent last year, but far from, you know, what he was at his prime and pump.
Just think of what that coaching staff could look like, Bob. So you got Bonds as the hitting coach. You could bring in A-Rod as the bench coach, and then you could bring Roger Clemens in as the pitching coach. It is South Beach, Bob.
Yeah. The only thing is Roger Clemens as never admitted to
so, anything. And so Hall of Fame ballot time, A-Rod gets the same treatment as McGuire and
he
the
does
boys.
For me.
Oh, yeah.
Does for me. The treatment of Joe Girardi. Now, granted, Big Poppy, the comparative, made the announcement at the beginning of the year. There has been a sort of a celebration from park to park of his career. A-Rod did not make this decision. I think the Yankees probably wished he had it at the beginning of the year, and probably A-Rod wishes he had it at the beginning of the year. But given that it was decided upon with a 1 week advance notice, was Girardi under any obligation to play this guy? Even if you didn't play him all the time, make sure he at least gets into every game at some point in time. Or, as Joe Girardi has explained, I'm trying to win baseball games.
He doesn't owe A-Rod anything, I don't think. And absolutely, as a coach, I mean, I know the Yankees aren't doing much this season, but he's still playing for his job in many respects. He wants to get as many results and show progress, perhaps, and play kids. There's guys out there, you know, who are trying to make a name for themselves in the Yankees right now who don't want to be sitting down the bench because this 42-year-old has-been wants to get a nice little farewell tour.
I don't dispute that, James, except we're talking 1 week. You still will have 6 weeks of the regular season to see all the kids.
Is it principle? I mean, to me, there's so much more to this than we know behind the scenes. Obviously, if A-Rod was a decent, upstanding citizen...
Well, I think maybe that's it.
Right? Girardi would say, sure.
My guess is Girardi can't stand him, doesn't like him, and says, exactly. Screw him. I'm not going to do anything outside the norm.
Bob, they've been trying to prune that contract out of New York for the last 2-3 years, okay? So this should not shock anybody that the Yankees aren't being lovey-dovey with A-Rod, and it doesn't matter whether it's the manager, whether it goes all the way to ownership. This has not been an amicable relationship dating back to when his suspension started. So, you know, to James's point, I don't think they feel that they owe him anything, and I don't think they owe him anything either.
I think the biggest issue is, and we'll never know this, at least until A-Rod's biography comes out, is that how much he thinks he's compared to Jeter. And what his, how, one was the captain, one was a lifetime Yankee. One stood for the things that you believe the Yankees are supposed to stand for, and the other's A-Rod. And
one was never on the juice or caught, at least.
Well, I mean, that's the sad statement, Mike, is that you assume he wasn't, but you know, now we say maybe he wasn't caught. But I would think that to me is A-Rod, who always will view himself as a better baseball player than Jeter, and his numbers indicate that he probably was. Well, maybe not a better. I mean, let's face it. The whole concept of A-Rod and Jeter on the left side of the infield was supposed to be special for this organization and win them two or three more World Series.
A lot of people thought that when A-Rod went there that he was the better shortstop right. defensively than Jeter. And there are some people in the minority, of course, but there is a segment in New York of Yankee fans that think that Jeter should have, you know, he was the one that should have changed positions and not A-Rod. But, I mean, Jeter was iconic there.
Jeter was beloved and A-Rod yeah. was not. Jeter was never found to have taken performance-enhancing nope. drugs, nope. and A-Rod was.
Yes.
And I don't know how you take the impact of steroids out of any athlete's statistical career. But Jeter's career can't hold a candle to A-Rod's.
No.
Can't hold a candle.
So I'll tell you what, like, going back to, you know, the 90s, early in my career when I was covering the Blue Jays, one of the sad things about how A-Rod's legacy has been tainted is you would go into Seattle and to see two special, you could say generational players, back-to-back, A-Rod and Ken Griffey Jr., and how special they were, special talents that they were, and what could have become out of that, and how two guys' careers went in totally different directions. But I'll tell you, you look back to think that Edgar Martinez, A-Rod, mm-hmm. Ken Griffey Jr., that was
the big
a
unit
special
on the mound.
Team.
Randy Johnson,
yeah. big unit on the mound, yeah.
That was a special team. I mean, Mariner fans, I know there's some still hanging around in British Columbia, Mariner fans.
Yep.
I mean, that's a team in many ways that got robbed of some greatness simply because of baseball's rules and free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And an ownership unwilling to pay those types of players that type of money.
Our last point on A-Rod. Does anybody doubt that A-Rod is still hoping that the phone will ring and someone will ask him to play? Do you think he has accepted it's over?
No. His ego is so enormous.
I don't think he has. I think
No, I agree with you, Bob.
He's still hopeful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That somebody's going to pick up the phone.
He expects it, I bet. Expects it.
He might.
At some point.
I will say this.
Season or next.
Even sitting out the last month and a half of the regular season, I'll bet you he doesn't give up that ghost until spring training of next year.
Does his name still bring a certain PR element to a team as well?
And positively?
Well, I mean does it matter?
I mean, can you sell?
Yeah, I think it does.
Just to sell tickets? Is that what you mean?
Sure.
I don't think so.
What segment of reaction tonight at Yankee Stadium will be negative? What percentage?
Almost none.
Tell you what
unless happen- there's any Boston fans what, that got tickets
what
hap- to the game.
No, but what happens at Yankee Stadium, the new one or the old one, when somebody says they're retiring, is one of the most special things you'll ever hear or see. And it's truly magical. I mean, baseball fans in New York are on a plane of their own, in my mind. They are so special. I think that they'll respect the moment
and
move on.
The Toronto Blue Jays are in first place in the American League East. It's the first time we've done a roundtable with that statistic valid this year. And yet they've sort of scuffled the last week, 10 days, 2 weeks. Baltimore's in a stretch of very tough games. The Boston Red Sox are scuffling worse than the Toronto Blue Jays. Even the Houston Astros, who come into town tonight, have, after they got off to a horrible, horrible start, were in last place
mm-hmm.
and looked just awful, then went on a long streak of real proficiency and now have been scuffling a bit the last little while. And I don't know whether they're a threat for a wild card or not. General thoughts on the Blue Jays and where they sit right now before we get into the specifics of six-man rotations and injuries and and all that other nonsense. I mean, is this not unexpected? This is pretty much what we thought should be happening about this time of year.
It was going to be a dogfight in the East, wasn't it, from day one? And I think they're fortunate that the Red Sox
I actually didn't think so, to
poor.
Tell you the truth, James. No. At the beginning of the year, I thought the Blue Jays would win by six or seven games.
And they still might.
I still expect them to win by six or seven games.
But, I mean, did we expect that the Sox pitching to be so mediocre at this point in the season?
David Price was supposed to be better than this.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, so I mean, let's face it. That's, we all thought that Boston was going to be the team, and that the Jays were going to have to match.
I didn't. I thought it was Baltimore. I said Baltimore at the beginning of the year. I mean, I respect the Boston decision, but I'm not sold on that team, and I don't know exactly why.
Baltimore's rotation, I still have questions about it. But you know, Bob, you
say
about
crappy.
Price was supposed to be good. I mean, J.A. Happ, did anybody think that he would be in the Cy Young conversation like he is?
And arguably, there's some survey or poll or whatever that lists the Cy Young candidates. Guess what? He's number one right now. J.A. Happ is number one.
So back during the offseason, so Price leaves, J.A. Happ comes in.
I still remember that.
Whoever would have thought that the Jays came out the better of this
Bob
deal.
Bob fell off his chair that day, just so you know. Happ!
Ask him about Happ. Well, you want to see him fall off his chair? Ask him about Happ in a six-man rotation.
Well, I'll tell you the truth, though, about Happ. I did recognize, along with many, many other people, that this guy might have just turned it around in Pittsburgh over the last couple of months of last year.
But that much, Bob?
No, I don't think anybody could have expected that, for sure. But at least what you thought is, maybe he's found enough that he becomes better than a 500 pitcher.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Cy Young Award winner? Come on. Nobody. God, that was stupid. But
he's so good, he pitches every sixth day.
I didn't expect the Blue Jays to...
You're trying here, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm trying.
I didn't expect the Blue Jays to sign Price under any circumstance, right. So I wasn't particularly disappointed. Didn't spend a lot of time thinking about that. J.A. Happ, I didn't mind him when he was here, but I thought he was a real middle-of-the-road, at best, kind of starter, who then all of a sudden looked like he found something in Pittsburgh. And when they signed him, I said, you know what? All things considered, that might be a pretty good signing.
Yeah.
This is something different altogether.
But but in the last 50 games in the American League, Bob, aren't the Blue Jays the best team in baseball in the league? I mean, last 50 games.
I think Houston might be close just because they were so bad.
I don't think anymore. The last week or 10 days they've been crummy.
I mean, if this team, now that it has as close as it has some level of rhythm and consistency, stay the course, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
They still may win the division by 6 games, Bob.
I think so too.
I mean,
I expect them to.
You know, remember, it's August the 12th today. August the 12th today. This was 12 days into the new into the Renaissance last year. 12 days.
And they were well back still.
That's right.
My fear is, though, that for the last year or so, this team has avoided that bad injury bug. For some reason, they've avoided it pretty much. And now we're seeing Pilar get hurt. We're seeing Batista once again get hurt. Possibly, is this a slippery slope?
Wow. The way Pilar plays, I'm amazed he hasn't been hurt more than he was.
Yeah. I think he is actually hurt quite often, but he gets through it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the advantage here is that you can make the argument that if you're going to get an injury bug, the outfield is the best place to get it.
Sure.
And especially on this team, when you think about the dramatics that can be presented by players at other positions. If you figure Encarnacion as a first baseman /DH, Encarnacion, Travis, Tulowitzki, Donaldson.
Right.
Those are your four infielders.
There, isn't it? Yeah.
Show me a team that can put four infielders together that forget how they play defensively, which generally is pretty good. Offensively, nobody can match that. Mm-hmm. So if you had two of your four infielders out, I think you got a big problem.
And you throw the depth guys in like Barney, all of a sudden, I mean.
Yeah, and Barney's been a real good player for this team.
Been great.
Real good player for this team.
He's been one of those.
You mean
guys
in the infield or the outfield?
You know what?
No matter where.
He's just been he's been one of those guys all season long that you could rely on him.
Yeah,
you could rely on him. He did exactly what this group of guys needed him to do when he was called on.
You're never going to say that Barney has been the best player on this team. But if there's an internal vote for MVP, and I think they still do that, boy, I think he gets a lot of votes.
I do.
He might get mine. Most valuable player to this team this year. And that's with J.A. Happ and Sanchez and Donaldson maybe winning the MVP.
But an everyday player, Bob, I tell you what, as an everyday player, boy, every time you listen or you watch or you hear, Barney's always in the middle of something. And he's always doing the right thing at the right time. Thing,
yeah. And people in the organization have come out and say they've been surprised from the standpoint that they knew he could play different positions in the infield. But he's played in the outfield and been good.
Yeah. Other topics. Of course, I've been criticized for suggesting that Devon Travis be traded before the deadline. Which I've never, ever, ever, ever not once said.
Value.
What I said was that if you're looking for a player you could trade that could get you something because he has value, right, that Devon Travis is the one guy you could consider. And the reason you could consider that is because you had two other guys that are pretty good in the infield, and you had one too many middle infielders. So let's put that to rest, first of all. But Devon Travis is now doing what Devon Travis did at the beginning of last season, and that's lighten it up. Mm-hmm. Hitting, playing solid defense generally. More power than you would expect for most second basemen, although I know it's a different era. Anybody? There's nothing negative to say about this guy, is it?
No, I think what you said earlier about the four guys in the infield, and you know Travis's name just rolls off your tongue. Nobody questions it anymore.
Yeah,
I mean that to me is the
key. He's in the same category as everybody.
He's one of the first guys
else
on the team sheet, isn't he? Really? I mean, yeah, let's be honest. I mean, absolutely, he's not even a consideration anymore. And when he came over, though, I mean, he was rated, wasn't he? I think as a prospect, as being a pretty good player with a lot of upside offensively.
I want to say he was the number two prospect in the Tigers system, but yeah, I may be wrong
trade?
About that.
Was that the Daniel
yes,
Norris
it was,
trade?
I think.
It was up there, but he comes aboard here, and he played really well, and then did his shoulder. And then we forgot about him for almost a year, I guess.
Yeah,
give or
it was
take.
A year.
So I don't know how surprised we should be, but still, it's certainly fun to watch right now because he does it all. And there's your leadoff problem solved, surely.
It's Anthony Goh's trade.
Okay, thank you.
The center field, the Tigers,
right,
tried
yeah, right.
They
goes,
needed a center
goes,
fielder,
okay,
and they had a second baseman, right, so they didn't right, have room for
right,
Travis.
Okay, thank you.
Is he in the majors, Goes?
He was sent down, I know, several weeks ago. Is Anthony Goes back with the Tigers? We haven't paid that
Cleveland,
much attention.
Cleveland, maybe?
Speaking of...
What about Cleveland? Was he sent to Cleveland?
He
wasn't
check.
Traded, I don't think. Was he? Was he?
A pretty good trade overall.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a trade.
Oh,
yeah. Steal.
I'm avoiding the six-man rotation for the moment. Jose Bautista on the DL again. And look, you can make the argument that running into the wall and stubbing your toe is an accident. It isn't relative to how old you are or what kind of shape you're in. Tripping on your spikes on an AstroTurf or unnatural turf outfield is not necessarily because you're 35 years old and you're losing it. But two injuries that will cost him 30, 40, 50 games, whatever it's going to be. If one looks at the production of Jose Bautista over the course of this year, it isn't horrible. But his batting average is a lot lower than you would want. His home run production is down a little bit, although that may be more reflective of the time that he's missed. His arm is gone. He cannot throw the way he once did. He once was arguably had the best arm in all of baseball.
Sure.
Both from terms of power and accuracy.
Yeah.
He is nowhere near that. He basically flips the ball into the infield now. He does not get to balls that he once got to. He was never the fleetest of foot out there, but he does not. And the net here, John, before you jump in, is the signs of aging have materialized in my mind for Jose Bautista.
So you're suggesting he should have taken the deal in January?
I don't know if there was a deal in January, but I don't know whether there was an offer. But if there was an offer?
Yeah, should have taken it.
What would you give him today?
Well, I mean...
You're the Toronto Blue Jays, and Jose Bautista comes to you and says, okay, I'm going to give you a first crack at this before I talk to anybody else. What's your offer?
My answer right now, today, based on everything you just said and based on the injuries, is, you know what, Jose, you've had a great run here. You've had a great run here.
Seconded.
I would go to Edwin first and see, Edwin, any
well,
chance?
That's different.
Any
that's,
chance?
I grant you that, but that I don't think that influences the decision. What, if anything, would you offer Jose Bautista?
I think Bautista could still be an effective DH. I would give him, what's the DH
but
worth
I already
now?
Got
it's
a
good DH.
I'm
well,
have,
yeah,
I'm
but I think
have
Edwin's leaving. That's why I think they are connected, both of them.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to bring them both back. one or the other. And let's assume Edwin's leaving because he's
what are you going to give him?
3 years, and I'm going to give him south of 20.
Okay. Z?
Just south of 20.
I don't know, Bob. I just 2 years south of 20.
I'm the hard ass.
I'm going to give you the specifics. I am not offering him any more than $16 million a year, and I'm offering him no more than a one-year contract. You want to rebuild your brand? Do you think you can be a more marketable player at age 36 than you were at 35? Okay, we'll keep you. We don't know. I don't know. Maybe you'll DH a bit. Maybe you'll play a little first base. I mean, remember, this is a guy who played third base for a good portion of his time here years ago. I wouldn't put him at third, obviously. But he can play. He can play first base. There are options there. I'll take a chance that the hitting can come back. I don't know that the bat speed is slower. That's usually the first thing to go. I don't know whether that's true.
There's no way it takes 1 year, though, surely. I mean, if you give him 1 year, he's walking.
Bob is basically doing what I'm telling them the truth. So, I'm telling the truth. Bob's trying to just fudge
Bob's being nice to him, and John's booting him in the derriere as he goes out the door.
Bob's just saying, well, we've got to give him an offer. Well, let's give him something we know he won't take.
Well, I accept he probably won't take it, but what do you think he's going to get elsewhere? Do you think somebody's going to give him a five-year deal? Anybody?
No.
Do you think anybody will give him
free agency? People,
I'm not sure he'll get four. Bob,
will he get 3 years and $30 million a year?
Oh,
no, Bob.
No.
No way.
These are the according to reports, Jose was asking for 5 years, $150 million at the beginning of the year. That was his ask, and the debate was: is he worth it? Today, there isn't a person on this planet that would even engage in that conversation. He is not worth anything near that in terms of term or per year.
Would you go shorter term but higher dollar?
What do you consider higher dollar to be?
Say 25.
All I'm giving him is a
No chance?
I'm giving him a reclamation year. Yeah. That's all I'm giving him. And I'd say, Jose, look, you're going to go out under any circumstance and shop the marketplace. Now, if you want to stay in Toronto, this is what we can offer you. 1 year, $16 million. Now, if you have a good year, you're a free agent again next year. And maybe at 36, you can go get that rich contract. But
at the same time,
there's deterioration there.
What if he comes back, though? He comes back in 15 days' time, and he just lights it up for the remainder of this season. You've seen the injuries. You've seen the sluggish form earlier in the season.
Certainly that mitigates.
Can he raise his value enough to even entertain a $30 million deal?
No.
No matter what?
He's not going to entertain anything more than a one-year contract. Might I go 1 year and $20 million? Yeah. Maybe that's what he could do.
One-year option, Bob?
Maybe.
Where's Edwin in all this, Bob, for you?
Must sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Must sign, I think they will. And it's going to be really expensive.
Because Boston is going to be bidding heavy, right?
But you sign Edwin as the H or as a first baseman? Or both?
For me?
Yeah.
Edwin would play first base every chance
he
could.
And then Batista could potentially be
the H. I must say I'm not a smoke guy. I don't dislike the guy. I just offensively, he is just flawed. I don't like where they hit him in the lineup. I think he has way too much responsibility. Too many times with runners on base. And he produces nothing. He strikes out way too much. He doesn't walk enough, and his batting average is, low 200s. And he doesn't have overwhelming power. What's he got, 9 home runs?
No.
Something like that?
Other than that.
I mean, okay, he's a $4 million guy. Yep. God love him.
Yep.
I know.
He's played his role. He's been a good role player at the key time. Early in the season particularly, he did some good things.
For me, if Encarnacion could play first base every day and you didn't have to really worry about injuries, that's what I'm doing. I just don't have the trust in Smoke. Would I bring him in late innings for a defensive replacement? I'll tell you what. I've seen enough Encarnacion plays at first base, defensive plays, that I don't think he's the worst first baseman ever. I think he's pretty good. Smoke is very good. I'll give you that. Ninth inning? Okay. Go to Smoke. Rest Edwin.
Do you think
But as a bat off the bench, would you have any confidence if Gibby taps Smoke on the shoulder in the ninth inning with two on and two out and you're down a run And you want Smoke to pinch hit?
Well, who would he take out? I mean, the guy he's replacing has got to be better.
Okay, how about if it's a Dickey game and Tolley's up?
Well, okay, then I might play Smoke.
Can Jose catch? There's your option.
No.
No, he can't.
It's in a National League
City? I'm not sure he can play right field anymore. What do we have?
Bulletin? Little update on where Ghost is.
I was correct. Ghost is playing for the Tigers AAA team, where he got into a dugout argument with manager Lloyd McClendon, for which he was suspended, then demoted to AA Erie, the Erie Sea Wolves.
So what is it?
Did they move Erie? Did they move the city to the edge of the sea?
It's going to fall in.
Well,
What is he doing the whole...
He's doing the Great Lakes.
Circumference of Lake Erie? Like he goes Detroit to Toledo. Is it Toledo?
Yes.
To Erie.
Mud Hens.
If you go to, and if he comes back, did he play in Buffalo?
I don't know. I was just thinking that he could do a lap of Lake Erie.
Look, with due respect, he's a classic 4A guy. I understand why the Tigers took a shot.
Yeah.
He's got speed and he's got some skills. Yeah. But he is proving to be one of those almost limitless number of 4A guys. He's good enough to be a AAA star, but he's not good enough to be a major league player. And he may get another shot, and I hope he does, but he's going in the wrong direction for the moment. When we come back, the six-man rotation, a decision or a non-decision. We'll address it when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you very much. Thanks to Pizza Pizza for feeding today's roundtable. Feel like pizza tonight? They've got some pies with international flavor, old school favorites, gourmet options, or you can even make your own masterpiece. Even get their best pizza deal starting at just $18.99. Go online to check it out at www.pizzapizza.ca or call 416-967-1111 to order. Now, we do want to get some footy in here since we have our new footy guy in the studio.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Here we go. First,
Paulie Smalls.
Not the first. First. No, relax.
Rumor has it there's one team that's the only team that matters, Bob. What team would that be?
That'd be Spurs. And the only team that should matter to anybody. And if you're not a Spurs fan, up yours. The six-man rotation is not a decision. It is absence of a decision. It's the inability to make a decision. It is a mistake. It is the acknowledgement of a mistake. They didn't plan on having a six-man rotation when they got Liriano. They planned on replacing Sanchez with Liriano. Then, after they got Liriano, they went and talked to Sanchez, who talked them out of sending him to the bullpen. Why they couldn't have had that conversation a week earlier in Toronto is beyond me. And that is the end of that story. How will this six-man rotation emerge? No one has the answer, including me. However, I will say this. If the six-man rotation seems like a good idea, it would have been done a long time ago and done deliberately and not by complete and utter accident.
By the way, it is Liriano tonight. And don't you think, Bob?
No, I don't.
You can't have.
No, John, I
you
don't.
You can't have enough good pitching, Bob. You can't have enough good pitching.
John,
then you got to send somebody to the bullpen. If it happens to be Sanchez, because you shouldn't have a six-man rotation. John, there is zero evidence. Shut up for a second.
I will.
There's no evidence to support the theory that a six-man rotation in Major League Baseball works. Maybe it does, but with a team that's trying to win a World Series, you're gonna go down that road?
Tell you what, the way I saw and the way I think a lot of people saw the Blue Jays and how they handled their pitching staff in the playoffs. And at times, when Dickey pitched, when Price had to come in, when Price had to be bailed out, I think maybe this six-man thing might be of not a bad idea.
You're a bold man.
No, he's a stupid man.
Look, I just think
they're prepping for postseason. I can see this.
This was not a decision that was made by anybody in upper management. This was an inability to make a decision. Can't decide what to do.
But you can't. You can't penalize Sanchez. I mean, he's gone above and beyond.
Well, but wait a second. When they got Liriano, it was because they'd already decided to penalize Sanchez and send him to the ball. We have a pitch count. We have a limit, an innings limit. We're not going to risk this guy's arm. Blah blah blah. The president of the club was on this program a week before, espousing that very same thing. Okay, I disagree. I think he can pitch. I'm not worried about his pitch count. I'm not worried about his innings limit. All right, you don't agree? Good. They went and got Liriano. All right, proven veteran. I don't know how much he's got left. Maybe a lot.
And Russell Martin?
Yeah,
worked with him in one of his best seasons ever.
Okay, that's a pretty good get, all things considered. You gave up not much to get him. You gave up Hutchison, right?
Right.
So
who didn't have a future.
That's right. Didn't fit. So, all right, fine. Then all of a sudden, people start yapping. All of a sudden, the Sanchez supporters start coming out of the woods. Management goes, oh, wonder if they know more than we do. Let's go talk to Aaron and see what he does. Where's the team's in Houston? Fly down to Houston. Talk to Aaron Sanchez. Sanchez says, you're all a bunch of nuts. I want to pitch. I want to start. I don't want to go to the bullpen. Hell, I could have told you that the week before. You could have saved the airline ticket if that's all you were looking for. So yeah, they backed off the decision they'd already made to make no decision. John, stupid. Let's see how it goes.
John.
You get one sentence, and then we're going to talk soccer.
Two quick points. Number one, after 3 weeks, it's the first time he told me to shut up, so I feel honored.
Attaboy.
Number two, John, you should have talked to Shai. Shai tried to make this argument, and he still has the teeth marks on his neck. So, you know,
you were swimming
upstream with that one.
I don't think I lost yet, though.
So Bob's against the six-man rotation.
You got that, eh?
Okay. Just about figured it out now, I think.
Moving to soccer.
Now, if they could get one more start and go to a seven-man rotation, I might be in favor of that.
No, actually, a guy for every day of the week. Have a weekly schedule.
Holy mackerel.
And if they don't play on Thursday, you get the week off.
Oh, perfect.
See, we can bring this back to the first thing we talked about in the show. It could be the Vegas Lucky Sevens.
Barclays is out as sponsor, so the Premier League, Barclays Premier League is just the Premier League.
It's just the Premier League, yeah.
Okay.
Real simple.
And the favorite to win the Premier League this year is?
Manchester United or Man City. It's the two Manc clubs this year. They spent all the money, world record transfers.
In a commercial break, you said you thought Spurs had a chance.
No. I thought Spurs could win it. They're a very good young team, Bob. Excellent young team. Stability, same team as last year, but are they the favorites?
Are you sucking up to me now?
Yes, a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay.
This is my first time on the round table, so.
Yeah. Well, they finished, third last year?
Yeah. Should have finished second, maybe first.
Oh, I know. They collapsed the last few games.
Again, it's a young team who are learning their trade, and I think they've learned from that and watched them this year. But this is the first year in many years that you can make a case for five or six teams to actually win it. It's a lot of parity for the first time, which is going to be fascinating.
You haven't mentioned Leicester yet.
Everyone's dismissing Leicester. We've learned nothing from what they did last year. It's pretty much the same team right now.
So you think they can go from last to first to last?
The bookies have them going down more likely than winning it again. But they won't go down. They'll finish probably mid-table and play in
Europe. Will it be competitive this year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It will
still be a very good team.
No, but I mean, will the league itself be competitive?
I think so. More than we've seen for a long time.
Yeah, I don't think there's a team that jumps out and says, we're clearly the best.
Five or six teams you could make a case for winning this thing this year.
All right. How many coaches will Arsenal go through this year?
None. It's Arsene Wenger. He's been there for 26 years.
Oh, okay.
Or 20 years.
Who am I thinking of? Somebody else.
Any other club.
Chelsea.
Really.
Almost anybody
Any
else.
Other club, yeah.
Chelsea, maybe.
Roman's team.
Yep.
Shows you what I know about soccer. Like, next to nothing.
We'll teach you slowly. I screw it up.
For Z and Shannon and Charmin. Have a nice weekend. Good night from Toronto.